Please take your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse 55, down through chapter 12, verse 3. Shall we stand together? John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 55. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves, if they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that, if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this show of love, that Jesus was returning to Jerusalem for the feast to be our sacrificial lamb, and then for the act of Mary, as she was willing to give something so costly to the Lord. Lord, may our hearts be open and full of love for our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Jesus' ministry is in its final phase. He is soon to celebrate his last Passover meal, for he is about to become our Passover lamb. John the Baptizer said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus has returned to Bethany, not only to share a meal with Lazarus and his sisters, but to enter the city of Jerusalem in fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, where it says, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass." And we know that, of course, is the triumphal entry. And then in John chapter 12, verse 1, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover meal, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." In John 11, they asked if Jesus would come to the feast. In verse 54, we find that he would no longer walk openly because the religious leaders wanted to kill him. And it wasn't something that just was a spur of the moment thing. They had, for most of his ministry, wanted to do away with him. But now he returns to Bethany, a village very close to Jerusalem, within walking distance. And we find him at the home of Simon the leper, getting ready to eat. In verse 2 it says, "There they made him a supper, and Mary served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." And once again, we find that Lazarus and his sisters are front and center with Jesus. Lazarus is sitting with Jesus. Martha, again, is serving. And Mary is about to make a great sacrifice. In verse 3, it says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." A pound of ointment of spikenard. If you looked in the Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Dictionary, you would find this under spikenard. the rose red fragrant ointment made from the dried roots and woolly stems of the spikenard plant. It was a favorite perfume of the ancients, a precious ointment. It was and still is transported in an alabaster box to preserve its fragrance. Because it had to be imported from northern India, it was extremely costly, unquote. The gift likely represented Mary's life savings. And the motive could only be that Mary wanted to give Jesus her best. Now, in your mind's eye, see the room. Martha is bringing the food to the table. Now, I'm not sure what she has, but she is a server. She is one that gives in this way. This is how she best shows her love. And she is bringing food to the table. In your mind's eye, see Jesus and Lazarus and the disciples, the other guests, sitting around a short-legged table. The men leaning on one arm with their legs bent behind them are beginning maybe to sample the food. The aroma of the food, as we know, probably filled with garlic and onions and other things that give out odor, is beginning to be, what shall we say, you know how onions, you know, they say if the meal isn't ready, at least fry some onions. Makes people think you've got something cooking, right? Yes. And they're hungry. You know, it's one of those things, you're not hungry till you smell it, right? And we find that Mary now enters the room with this ointment of spikenard. And she stops behind Jesus. And remember I said that he is sitting in such a way that his legs are behind him. And she stops and bows down and she breaks open the alabaster box and she anoints his feet with this costly ointment. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. The Bible says a woman's hair is her what? Her crowning glory. And she takes that which is her glory and she wipes the feet of Jesus as the odor immediately fills the room. There was no doubt what had happened. It would be simply amazing, this odor. It was a picture of love. Keeping your place here, turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would please, chapter 13. We'll read much of this chapter. It's only 13 verses. We will not read all of it. And it uses the word charity. Some of the newer versions have done a disservice in using the word love. Now, love is important. But charity means love in action. It means unconditional love. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, "I love chocolate"? Yes, I like dark chocolate. I'll be honest about it. I don't really care that much anymore for milk chocolate. As my taste buds have gotten older, oh, that sounds terrible. Milk chocolate just does not do it for me anymore. But dark chocolate, oh, that's good, isn't it? But I've heard people say, "I love chocolate." Let me tell you this, when we're talking about love like this, we're talking about love that you're willing to die for. Would you die for dark chocolate? How many of you would die for dark chocolate? I didn't think so. I've heard a girl tell another girl, "Oh, I love that dress." Do you think they really would die for that dress? No. But how strong is your love for the Lord? Do you realize that hundreds, thousands have died for Jesus Christ? They have been martyred for the faith. They have been crucified. They have been put on poles where they were greased and used as street lamps. They were put in positions where they were in jails and chained and honeyed and released rats. They would be put on platforms and they would put a boulder on the believer. And they would say, "Do you recant your faith?" And they would say, "No." And they would add another boulder. Now, we're not talking little rocks. We're talking boulders. And they'd add a third boulder. And they'd add a fourth boulder. And they'd add a fifth boulder. And many of the believers would say, "Add another one." Now, at a certain point, you put enough boulders on somebody, what's going to happen? They're going to die. But they would not recant their faith because they loved the Lord. They loved him. They would be taken out at low tide and tied to a stake. And then high tide would come in. And they would drown. They would be burned at the stake. They loved their Lord. In a little bit, I'm going to ask you, do you love Jesus? Mary proved that she loved Jesus. She proved it. Let's begin reading now at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am what? Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Now let's see what charity is. And as we're describing charity, we are describing Jesus Christ himself. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." Verse 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." The greatest of these is charity. Love in action. Listen carefully to this question, and then hope I don't pick you. If I were to pick a married couple and asked them to write down on a piece of paper what their mate had done to show their love to them and what they had done to show their love to their mate, and you were that couple, what would and could you write on that piece of paper? Now, let me make it so you understand what I'm talking about. If I were to pick a couple and each of them were given a piece of paper, and I would say to the couple, "Write down what your mate has done to show you their love. And then you write down what you have done to show your love." Would there be just one thing written down? Or would the front and back be filled? Now, let me pick a couple. I'm just teasing. See, love is not necessarily the giving of material things, but of time and effort, a willingness to help, a willingness to sacrifice. Love. Love is more than merely saying, "I love you." Now, that's good. I think it's necessary. I remember the story about the woman that said to her husband, "Don't you love me anymore?" And he said, "Of course I love you." And she said, "Well, you never say it." And he said, "I told you when I got married, and if anything changes, I'll let you know." Should that do one time? No. Love is costly. Love is going to cost you something. I've told you this on any number of occasions. There is only one reason for divorce. Selfishness. Oh, we term it different things. Oh, he drank, she gambled, they were having an affair. It's all selfishness. It's putting what I want in front of what I should be doing. Do you love Jesus? If I gave you a sheet of paper and a pen or a pencil, and I said, over the next 5 minutes, prove it. Write it down. Could we prove it? See, love is not easy. I don't care what the stories say. I don't care what the Hallmark movie of the week says. Love is not easy. Because most of us are basically what? Selfish. How many times do we pray to God, "Your will be done, as long as your will is my will"? How often do we pray, "Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Lord, provide this. Lord, I want this"? When was the last time we just simply said, "Lord, tell me what you want me to do. Lord, tell me what you want me to give. Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do it"? Jesus proved his love for you, didn't he? Jesus was willing to come to die for our sins. Love. I tell you what, it would change our country if Christians would begin to love the way they should. And where would we begin? By loving Jesus and by loving one another. If you would, again, back to the book of John, chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. There's always a response to when somebody does something that is good. When somebody goes beyond what is expected, there's going to be a response. Verse 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" 300 pence was considered a year's wages. As we said, this may have been Mary's lifetime savings. His response was, "Why was this wasted?" In the book of Mark, in that narrative, it says, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made?'" Why giving to Jesus would anything be wasted? And yet here are some disciples that are upset over the fact that she had spent this money on this ointment and then put it upon Jesus' feet. If I were to tell you that this past Wednesday, before the service began, one of our men asked to speak to me, and when we were alone, he handed me two bank envelopes. If I were to tell you this happened, it would be true. Because this past Wednesday night, before the evening service began, a man in our church said, "May I speak to you?" And I said, "Of course." He took me aside and he gave me two bank envelopes. And he said, God has blessed me, and I want to give this to the church. In one of the bank envelopes was $2,000 in cash. And in the other envelope was $3,000 in cash. That means on Wednesday night, before the evening service began, he gave me two envelopes with $5,000 in cash. Now, I tell you what, that gets a guy ready to preach. What is your response to that? Is your response, boy, I wish I could do that? Is your response, well, why would he do that? $5,000. Man, oh man, I could put that down as a deposit on a car. I could buy furniture. I could go on a trip. What is your response? Do you say, praise God, that's really good? Why did he do it? He didn't do it for me. He did it because he loves the Lord. Mark 14:5 says, and they murmured against her. They murmured. Were they jealous that they hadn't thought of doing this? Did they feel like, I should have done something and I've done nothing? Why did she do this? Why didn't she show, sell this and give it to the poor? Let's read verses 4-5 and we'll go on. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag. And bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. She has done this. She realizes what I have said about dying, and she has done something to honor my coming death. Love motivates us to do right. Love motivates us to do right. Selfishness motivates us to do wrong. Love motivates us to step forward and fill in the gap. When there's a need that is necessary to be filled at the church, love motivates us to step forward. Love motivates us to remain faithful. Love motivates us to give of ourselves to the cause of Christ. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Nobody could doubt the love of the Apostle Paul for Jesus Christ. When it's all said and done, I hope nobody can doubt our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, in just a moment we'll give you an opportunity to come to the altar, and we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what needs to be done. That's the first step of loving the Lord. And then being willing to follow him and being obedient to him shows our continued love in him. Shall we stand together? 382, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. The reason he's calling, he loves us. And he wants us to spend all eternity with him. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless, asking, Lord, that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.